Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Matty Gladden Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This four-year-aged bourbon is double-pot distilled and non-chill filtered and has a full-bodied mouthfeel with eucalyptus, molasses, clove, ginger, and slight citrus, as well as grains of paradise. The finish is long and reappearing on the back of the tongue with notes of pepper, tobacco leaf, and mint cream. All of our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick, respect the grain, please enjoy responsibly, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Everybody, welcome to another podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Tonight it is Tiny joining you after our 100th. This is our 101st episode, 101th, and our 60th of our second season. Welcome, everybody. It's great to be here. Tonight is the 4th of July that I'm recording this, and I'm excited. Our birthday of America, and it's always been a great day, although last night is a night I celebrated, considering it's on a Sunday, although I have off Monday, but I can only handle so many fireworks, and I handled my fireworks last night. So here I am podcasting on the 4th of July. I send out honor to every single person that's ever defended this great country. A lot of things had to happen for us to get to this point so that we could be free. The flag represents freedom. People are the ones that screw freedom up. And I don't know if we're gonna eventually, but we always sure try to. But with that said, that's enough. We don't get political here on the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, but it's great. Happy birthday, America. But today, tonight, I'm going to be discussing Watershed Distillery. They are an Ohio distillery out of Columbus, Ohio. I've been aware of them, but not until this point. I got a lot to discuss in the upcoming podcast about this distillery and some of the exciting things that are going on at the distillery, and then some exciting news of what we're going to be doing at the distillery. But we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and we are brought to you by the Spirit of French Lick, the Spirits of French Lick. Alan Bishop is the awesome distiller, master distiller at the Spirits of French Lick, and he has so much going on there, and it's just such a wonderful relationship that we've developed between Alan and the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And pretty much any time that I want to, or not that I want to, any time that I ask him a question, he has more than enough time to discuss anything about distilling or the spirits in industry. And then one of the cool things is his historic background and how much history and what he studied and all the things he's done about working to find out about distilling and the distilling industry in Indiana, and then also throughout the country. Alan is very knowledgeable in these facts and information and this history. And it's just, I was down at the Watershed Distillery, and I'm way back driving back. I was able to talk to him for about 45 minutes about distilling and the whiskey industry and the craft industry and what it all means and what's happening. And it's just a wonderful to have him be a part of us. So the Spirit of French Lick, the largest pot still distillery in Indiana, is leading the way, representing both quality of the Hoosier artesian distilling process while paying tribute to its inseparable past and the many pre-prohibition era distilleries that once dotted the hills of southern Indiana. By implementing best practices from those early times with improved modern methods, Spirits of French Lick has created a unique place in the industry. Not only in terms of its story, but also in methodology, double pot still distillation, retention, and concentration of flavor and aroma. Established in 2016 as an outgrowth of the French Lick Winery, Spirits of French Lick focuses on four pillars of distilling: bourbon, brandy, botanical spirits, and American whiskey. Relying on time-tested practices and new innovation in the distilling program, we craft a spirit that has defined character, equally driven by grain, barrel, yeast, and experience. Following their motto, respect the grain, and all their bourbons and their whiskeys and anything, their brandies and any other distillates that Alan is distilling, he definitely does respect the grain. So with that said, we've had a wild couple weeks with the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and we are fast approaching our membership. Our membership tonight is at $497. And I want to say something on this podcast, if it might happen tonight or tomorrow, but 500 has a very special bottle. We actually have a bottle of Elijah Craig with the 500th member label that will be sent to the 500th member of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys in our Facebook group. We are at $497. This week's new members are Jimmy Bexton, Amy Brooks, Allison Bowers, Richard Bastletter, Mark Shalif, Nate Thomas, and Emily Davis. Those are our newest members. That has taken us to 497, and we've only got three more members before that bottle gets given away. So I don't know if the person who's going to be signing up will know, but we are having a 500th member bottle giveaway. Three members left. So if you're listening to this, check it out. Go to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys on Facebook. Check out the Facebook group and ask to become a member. It'll probably be happening in the next couple days, at least, maybe tomorrow would be my guess, but excited about that bottle giveaway. So we've got that out of the way. I've got this to go. So how was everybody's fourth? I had a really good time. I spent a little bit of time, actually a lot of time with the grandkids. My grandkids are between the ages of 2 and 6. I have 4 of them, 3 boys and a 5-year-old granddaughter. And they are wonderful. They keep me going. They keep me young. And it's just something that makes life worthwhile. Now, so I had a great fourth. We were out last night on Saturday night out at a local four-wheeler, track, and they shot off a nice fireworks display. It was good to be with a bunch of people finally, so we're happy about that. So I'm excited. This week, I went down to Columbus. Now, I've been working with Greg Lehman, Ann Dimmick, and Aaron Harris on doing a podcast from the distillery in Columbus, Ohio. Now, I'm out of Canton, Ohio, so it's only about a 2-hour drive. Normally, when I'm going down to the distilleries in Kentucky, we're 5 to 6 hours, which is about my range as far as I want to go. But in Ohio, there's a bunch of distilleries that I haven't really made connection. But when I saw that Aaron Harris, their new master distiller, had been named, I contacted him. I was able to contact him through Messenger on Facebook and kind of start talking to him about what's happening. I was so excited because Aaron comes from Luxco and Barton's in Kentucky. Now, to be honest, I have had Watershed bourbon before Aaron had gotten there. And I always say I love bourbon, so there are no bad bourbons. And Watershed by no means is a bad bourbon, but it's not a bourbon. It, at that point when I had tried it, and I had it in Ohio, Watershed is pretty much at every single restaurant and bar that you go to. So I've had it. I've had it in mixed drinks. I've had it neat. I've had it on ice, checking it out. And I would say that although it's not a bad bourbon, it wasn't a standout bourbon to me. And so when I talked to Aaron initially, making that contact, I was very excited because I felt that adding Aaron to the mix down there, that they could, you know, come up with maybe a little bit better product. Now, the owner and the master distiller before Aaron coming in was Greg Lehman. And he actually, Greg is, let's see, he is the CEO, founder, CEO, owner. And he did, he had a partner, but he no longer is partnered up. And he has been pretty much from since 2010 when they started, he has been the guy behind it, putting all the sweat and all the work and all the building of the actual distillery. Now, before I was setting this up, and I did set it up July 23rd, I'm going to be going down to Watershed to to do a podcast with them. I didn't know what to expect. I've never been there. And I really, what would you say, was looking forward to meeting Aaron, but I really didn't know too much about the past of Watershed. And my main contact at the time was Ann Dimmick, and she comes from Wild Turkey, and she is their aging specialist there. She's watches over the barrels aging, and also she's a marketer. So she was working with me to set that podcast up, and we set it up, and I was excited about that. And then in one of the emails, she said, "Well, why don't you come down this Thursday? We are having our launch, our media launch of our Bottled and Bond and our blend, our bourbon. We have a straight bourbon finished in apple brandy barrels, and then their straight bourbon mixed in a blend." And she said, "We are launching that, and you're invited to go to the launch." I was like, "Oh, yeah, sure, I'm on that." I took a half day off of work because when you're invited to a media launch of a bourbon, it's kind of exciting. And I have to say, when we went, the tour given by Greg, meeting Ann, meeting Aaron, talking with Aaron, my main connection there, I just think meeting him, Aaron seems to be the right guy at this point. And, you know, he's getting his legs there, and it really looks like what they've got there. And you have that addition plus what Greg's been doing and how much of Greg's soul has been put into this company and how much he supports the local community. He pretty much is right along. Him and Aaron are right when it comes to community and history and everything that they want to do. They're very similar to what Alan Bishop's doing in French Lake, Indiana, or West Baden, Indiana, for Indiana distilling. Now, Alan is a little bit, as far as for me, I know who Alan is, and I know I've seen and tasted the talent that he's doing with his pot stills. Now, at Watershed, they have a column still and a pot still. So they've got both going. So, you know, but I'm not, I don't know Aaron as much, and I haven't tasted as much whiskey out of Watershed. But going to this launch and this opening was a real treat. Now, I've gotten samples from them, and I did get to taste when I was down there, both the bottled in bond bourbon and then also the blend, the straight bourbon blend. So, with that said, there was another email all of a sudden, and they were having a pairing dinner right after the distillery launch, you know, for the media. And I was asked if I would like to come as a guest of Greg's. Now, I don't know how much anybody knows about pairing dinners. And pairing dinners, I've now been associated with four pairing dinners. And pairing dinners are insane. When someone asks you to go to a pairing dinner, you are talking about a class chef taking bourbon or whiskey or whatever kind of pairing that you're doing and coming up with food complements to work with either a mixed drink in a course or the bourbon or whatever you're pairing with neat. And all four of them have been unbelievable dining experiences. It's when a chef is very interested in exciting your palate with alcohol and food at the same time, there's a creativity that is second to none to the dinners. So usually you're eating something that is, you know, spectacular, and then it's enhanced even further, or the bourbon is enhanced, as in this case, the bourbon was, the food made the bourbon even better. So now that was just an awesome experience. I don't even, I was down there with Anne. I was down there. I met, Allison Bowers. She is was in charge of the PR. So, I got to have dinner actually with her, and the experience of meeting Greg and, Aaron and Allison there, it was second to none. I felt like I was going and being brought down and, part of the family. There was no, what would you say? There was no awkwardness. There was no, it was just kind of like fitting right in, sitting down, seeing the place. And then, they were very, very interested in what, the media had that was at this event had to say, or in what we had to say. And then also at the dinner, it was just unbelievable. So you just felt so good. And one of the reasons why I wanted to go down there was specifically because sometimes when you go into a place and you don't know what to expect before a podcast, usually your podcast is pretty good, but there's always some sort of, what would you say? An extra thing thrown at you that you're not expecting. And at this, by going to the dinner, going and meeting everybody, that is all out of the way now. So I don't have to worry about meeting people or whatnot. They know who I am after spending an evening, you know, enough to know where I'm coming from. And then I got a chance to understand what they're trying to do. And so I'm not going into this fresh, not knowing what their goals are, what they're doing. You know, I've got an idea. So it also allows me to come up with questions that I would like to ask and go forth that way. Now, I will, like I said, because I wasn't a huge fan of Watershed bourbon, I would say I was a little nervous going down there this time too, because I didn't know what to expect off the tasting. I was hoping with Aaron there, but Aaron's only been there for a while. And this bourbon has been in barrels before him. And as Greg said many times, if you don't like it, my partner distilled it and he's no longer with us. And if you do, I did it. And very, very tongue-in-cheek way. But still, when I went there, I was super relieved when I, you know, to see the place, see how they're going about doing what they're doing. And then also when we got to finally taste the bourbon, I was very, very happy that the bourbon that they were putting in these bottles were a little bit better not a little bit better. They were a lot better, and they were good bourbons that I can definitely get behind on the podcast. So I'm excited about that. I wanted to just talk about that experience going down to Columbus, the distillery and how big it gets. They keep getting bigger and bigger. They put in this restaurant that was just fantastic with, you know, one of the better restaurants in the city of Columbus. And what they're trying to do, it looks in at the distillery. They have unbelievable bar, and it just was a wonderful, fun night. So that gets to what I wanted to do. I wanted to taste these bourbons on air tonight or on podcast and just give it a little bit. I'm not going to barrel bash them because when it's just one person talking, it's always good to talk about it. I'm going to talk about the notes. I'm going to talk about the initial one that I'm opening up. I just opened up. It's Watershed Distillery, straight bourbon whiskey finished in apple brandy barrels, blended with straight bourbon whiskey. This has been aged 4 years, and this is bottle number 16. Excited about this. Their bottling line for a craft distillery was fantastic too. I was impressed with that. I've seen some very, very hands-on bottling lines, but this was a serious bottle line. It was automatic and it was really kind of cool. Now, I did get a Watershed Distillery Glencairn, but tonight we will be tasting in the Scotchy Bourbon Boys Glencairn. This Scotchy Bourbon Boy Glencairn can be available to you at www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Go to the store, pick it up. We'll ship it right to you. They're pretty cool. And the way that we were able to get these made for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys was through Martin Duffy. Martin Duffy is the Glencairn glass representative in North America. He is the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. He is a contributor to the podcast he's been on. And then also he hooks us up with a lot of people, and we appreciate everything Martin Duffy does for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys and the Glencairn Glass Company. Make sure if you're tasting in an official Glencairn, which is the official glass of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Now, the reason why I like to taste in a Glencairn is for many different reasons. One, you can hold it at the base, not heating up the whiskey. The other thing is when you're rolling it around, it really is a good glass to show the thickness in your glass and how the fatty content of the whiskey sticks and then how it drops back down. Now this blend is a caramel, probably more of, I would say, a gold color. It's almost like a beer, the color of a beer. And then as it drops back into your glass, it holds on and then goes to thick, they're medium sized legs, but they're long and they cling to the glass. Nice body in the Glencairn. Now, when I was first, I had no idea what this blend was. This is the first thing that we tasted, and I did not know that it was aged in apple brandy barrels, but the one thing that you pick up on this is apple with a very, very grain forward note. It's almost like an apple. It reminds, there's an apple, but then a little bit of a floral, and then like a fresher fruit. Yeah, a little bit of cherry. But the nose on this is, I would say, an above average nose. Very delicious. It's complex. Then when you taste it, sweet up front. Four. A 90. I believe this is a 90 proof. It's got nice. It's got a nice body on it. And it's very sweet up front. With the apples. Now, there is a nice, now when I tasted it, the bottle that I tasted from at the distillery, there's a nice hug on this. And then there's also a little bit of oak to a dark, dark chocolate finish. And it's medium finish, which at the distillery, the bottle that I had tasted was a very short finish. This is a good bottle. There's a little bit of cinnamon on the back end of the palate, back end of your throat. It's a 90 proof. It gives you a really nice hug. It's got some nice sweetness. I would say some of the apple turns mid-palate a little bit bitter, but then it goes to the chocolate. So the dark chocolate, this is about as dark chocolate as it can get. It's not a tobacco and it's not a, but there was a little bit of oak on it I was picking up. So I really like this is a very, very tasty blend. This would definitely be something that you would want. Very delicious. Like I said, I was impressed, when I went down there. Now, the Watershed Bourbon. Now, initially, Watershed has been even, noted for their gin. I believe they were in the Ascot Finals for Fred Minnick for their gin. And I don't know if it won, if I'm not sure, but I know it was there. So that kind of tells you. And initially, Greg, when he started, his main thing wasn't just to make bourbon. It was to distill some clear spirits, including gin, and make some apple brandy and that type of thing. And some of the stuff they're doing is pretty cool. But now that they're making bourbon, now what's really nice about this 4-year bottled in bond, I will read from the back of the bottle. Watershed Distillery Bottled in Bond Straight Bourbon Whiskey is a careful blending of our finest bourbon barrels. 100% distilled, aged, and bottled on site. We are proud to share a bottled in bond bourbon after years of anticipation. Bottled at 100 proof from a single season and featuring robust flavors of caramel, chicory, and dark cherry. At Watershed Distillery, we've got grit, great ingredients, and a team dedicated to the pursuit of perfection. Our bottled in bond reflects that commitment. Now, talking with Aaron, when we were there that day, they were just working. They had just okayed the batch 2 of the bottled in bond. Now, this bourbon, and Aaron was involved with, I believe they said this was, it was either 10 or 12 barrels, but I believe it was a 10-barrel batch, and the second one is also. And knowing that he was a part of picking the barrels that out for their bottled in bond bourbon, is kind of cool. They're 4 years. They were 2016, I believe, was the year that this was put into the barrel. So Greg was very proud of this. product, because there's a lot of people who are putting out bourbons, but some of it's sourced with their bourbon. And so this is a bottled in bond coming straight from the Watershed Distillery. In both cases, it's got, this one has a much more caramel vanilla, but in both cases, they're grain forward aspect, which I find that craft distilleries across the country, especially like in Indiana, now Ohio and whatnot, the grain forward aspect is a signature of what they're doing. A lot of times they're using locally sourced in some of the places. And when they're doing that, it's a good thing, because bourbon does not have to taste like a Kentucky bourbon. Kentucky does bourbon very well. They have big, robust caramels and butterscotch. They've got vanilla pudding, vanilla ice cream. I mean, they're really big on that caramely vanilla flavors and the pepper that happens, and then on their finishes, you know. But a craft distiller doesn't have to compete with the Kentucky bourbon. They should be making bourbons for themselves. And that's what I believe this Ohio distillery has done. I get the note of caramel, but I get a bread smell. Almost like I would say it's close to a cinnamon bun. That's just delicious. This is 100 proof because it's bottled in bond. It's got a really nice sweet vanilla front that transfers to the back. That's really good. Now, the color on this is not the same color of the other one. This one is a little bit more towards between gold and amber. There's a little bit more amber in it. But the sweetness up front. Now, the hug, this has a little bit more body. And it's just a much better bourbon than what they had in the bottle before. The bottle before, some was a little bit... seemed a little bit immature or young, a younger whiskey. Not that young whiskeys can't be good, but at the same time, when you know it's a young whiskey, usually that's what causes it to have, you know, the flavor aspect of what's going on, make you think that it's young, isn't always the best. Now, in this case, this is a 4-year bourbon, and this is delicious, and it's all theirs. So, Greg, Aaron, Anne, I raise this glass to you guys. It's a delicious bourbon. I love the sweetness. I'd buy it off the shelf. There's some cherries in it on the finish right now. Definitely a good product. And I'm so happy because you guys are right pretty much in my backyard along with Gervasi, and what you guys are doing, I'm getting excited for, because the future of bourbon and the craft distiller right now, I feel, is the time. I just believe that with the demand of what's going on with bourbon and how much people are loving bourbon, that yeah, you're going to have them all excited about the Kentucky bourbons. It's great to go to Kentucky Bourbon Festival, but you're also got this stuff in your own state. And when you're not getting that bottle of Elmer T. Lee, or you're not getting your Colonel Taylor, it's really kind of cool that you can go to the local distillery and pull something this good off the shelf and get it for fairly reasonable prices. So, Watershed, I look forward to the July 23rd podcast. This is going to be a blast. I give, approval on both these. If you're from Ohio and you're looking around and you see the Bottled in Bond or the Watershed Distillery blend, they're both worth buying off the shelf. I give it a great rating. And I can't wait till I get down there. Now, based off that, we can just kind of segue into this real quick. The craft distillery aspect of bourbon, either even 5 years ago, I mean, we're talking when Limestone Branch started out, and when these distilleries start out, it's rough because you've got, when you're doing an aged product, you need unaged product also to sell somehow so you can be making and keeping the lights on while you're waiting for your aged spirits to come around. Now, there's a couple things you could do. You can buy sourced alcohol off the shelf. And in the case, I believe, on the Watershed Distillery blend, there is some sourced alcohol. They do have their brand, their own bourbon finished in apple brandy barrels, but there's other blended with straight bourbon whiskey. So there's an aspect of buying the source and mixing it with what you have, or there's doing the spirits like Watershed, and also what Alan Bishop at the Spirits of French Lick have done, where they do brandies, which don't have to age as long. They can age, but at the same time, they're not. You can age them for long periods of time, but for the most part, you can get that right to the bottle and on the shelf. And those are one thing, but it's still very difficult to keep a distillery going. It's a huge investment, and there has to be a commitment, and there's up and down times. And as Greg Lehman was saying, it was, sometimes you came in and you weren't sure you're going to be able to do that, but you stuck to it and you gave, you know, everything you had. And that's what you see from Alan Bishop. That's what you see from Stephen Beam at Limestone Branch Distillery. At all the craft distilleries, you're seeing this. And I really think throughout the country, with a lot of podcasts, there's Texas distilleries that I mean, there's a lot of stuff I haven't tried. I mean, but like there's Colorado distilleries. I've tried a couple out of Colorado. Not as happy as I thought it would be, but I'm still waiting for them to be producing their own juice. There is a good amount of bourbon coming out in New York. So right now, everybody's poised and ready to go. And I think this craft distillery thing is going to really kind of hit its peak. It's coming. I mean, it's already started, but I really think it's got a chance to be a lot bigger. And as it gets bigger, they're going to be producing some damn good whiskey for us, folks. And just enjoy it. Give everything a shot. I've been, Jason Fruits Old 55 in Indiana. Good bourbon. Lisa Roper Wicker. Widow Jane in Brooklyn. The Widow Jane 10-year is fantastic this year. I mean, it's just give everybody, you know, start expanding out, because there's so much there. Look around your area. See what people are distilling. J. Henry and Sons out of Dane County in Wisconsin. I mean, there are just so many different places that, you know, are out there. So give them a try. I mean, the distillery tours, Gervasi, which is right in my backyard, 5 minutes from my house. I've had the tour. Shade Pridemore is their master distiller. I'm looking forward to what they're coming out with next. Hopefully we'll have Shay on here also. And then I also look forward on the 23rd going down to the Watershed Distillery. So just remember, we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We are on all the major podcast formats, but whatever format that you're listening to, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, you know, all the different ones, Spotify, Amazon, Alexis, whatever you're listening on, please give us a good rating and subscribe to us, because that helps us out immensely when it comes to being searched and how many people listen. The more people who like what they're listening to and let them know, puts us on the algorithm to be more searchable. We greatly appreciate your feedback on that. Also on YouTube, it's the same way. Please subscribe, leave comments. We look forward to it. I've been putting at least once a week, been getting up either a podcast or a video one way or another. The Scotchy Bourbon Boys there, at Scotchy The on Twitter. And then Instagram, we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Check us out there. And then remember, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. There you can connect to our Patreon. We are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys on Patreon, but in the top right-hand corner of our website, you can push that button, and there is a bunch of ways to get a bunch of stuff while you support us. So make sure you go to Patreon, leave a good feedback, and support us there. So that leaves us with another great episode. Everybody, it's been a wonderful time as usual. It has been a great 4th for me. I hope it was a great 4th of July for you. I will until next time, but remember, good bourbon equals good friends, good times, and remember, everybody, live dangerously out there. Good night.
Oh, don't ask why.